Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thanks so much for tuning in. You might be carrying over from the show before me. If you are, this is going to be quite the departure. But we are talking tonight about doubt. Do you have some of that? Do you know what that's all about? We are talking about self-doubt and, most importantly, crushing it. What could be causing us to doubt ourselves? Have you thought about that? Could it be that we stay trapped and held back by limiting beliefs? Ignoring all the good stuff that's going right, and we go straight to the bad. Instead of crushing self-doubt, we squash our hopes and dreams, believing that we just aren't good enough. We are going to talk about ways to challenge doubt and reframe negative self-talk so that we can start celebrating our success now and all the good stuff to come. So what do you tell yourself when you think about the future or you have your sights set on something that you really want? Do you give yourself a pep talk? Go for it. You deserve nothing but the best. You possess all the power to make that happen. You have what it takes to be a success. This is going to be easy because you rock. Or does it sound much different? You're lazy. You have a horrible taste in men or women. You aren't smart enough. You're not worldly enough. You've made too many bad choices. You're selfish. You know, as the years go by, that kind of self-talk becomes labels. Whether they're true or not, they're sewn into the fabric of our very being. They become part of our core, the vocabulary we use to talk about ourselves, even the thoughts that we hold about ourselves. How could you reframe your beliefs from negative to positive? How could you do that? You know, our minds are constantly bombarded with negative thoughts, visions of horrible things that may happen to us, and terrifying reasons not to do the things we want to do. Reframing involves identifying our helpful thoughts and replacing them, our unhelpful thoughts, and replacing them with positive and more helpful thoughts. Just turning it around. You've heard all those terms, turn your frown upside down. Do you know those kind of people? Always finding a silver lining. All you want to do is just have a bad day. And they got to turn it around and make it a happy one. Ugh. Well, meet me. If you're tuning in and this is your first time, hi, I'm a bowl of sunshine. If you've been tuning in, then you're tuning in because of that. I do always see the positive. I don't know why. It's always been something that is at my core. I've had friends in the past say, how do you do that? How do you just let things roll off your back so easily? And I don't know. It's nothing that I actually tried to do. It's just something that normally happens. See, I don't like to be in a bad mood. That's my big thing. I mean, that's what I attribute it to. I just don't like to be in a bad mood. So I hit a problem, maybe a little bit of doubt, and I think about it for a second. No, I'm not going to stay there. I don't want to stay in that kind of mode. I don't want to think those thoughts. And then I reframe them and move on. That's pretty much the why. But I thought about it and I thought, you know, that's probably not normal. And so that's why I really wanted to share that with everyone else and try to find a way to help you see the brighter side. So if you don't like those people, turn everything around to the positive. You might be listening to the wrong show, but I hope you stay with me. Just give it a shot. You know, before we learn how to turn it upside down, We have to find out where these thoughts are actually coming from. Why do you have self-doubt? When did you stop believing that anything is possible? You know, early in life, when you ask a child what they want to be when they grow up, you're likely to hear the impossible. An actress, a dog groomer, an astronaut, a rock star, a president, a model. The list can go on and on and on. And it's really fun when they get those wild combinations, right? They want to be an astronaut and a dog groomer. Then somewhere down the line, self-doubt creeps in. Maybe some reality too, like, you know, we all can't go to the moon. But self-doubt is usually leading the way. What did you want to be? Think about that. Think about how crazy that was. When no one told you no, when no kind of limiting thoughts came to mind, if you could remove all of those obstacles, all of that self-doubt, what would you want to do? Victoria Gianti is a co-founder of Higher Purpose. It's the Higher Purpose Project and the podcast Empower Yourself. She offers 8 self-limiting beliefs with strategies how to overcome them. Some of these you might identify with. Let's see. I lack motivation. I procrastinate too much. I don't have time. I don't have enough resources. It's too late to change. I have too many responsibilities. I have no clue who I am. I have no clue where to start. Do you identify with some of those? Have you said those things to yourself? I know we've all said, I don't have time, right? Well, let's dig into them just a little bit. I lack motivation. Do you really? Or are you just burned out? This type of burnout usually indicates that you're in an environment that leaves you feeling drained and unsupported. When this happens, you may even start to call yourself lazy. Do you associate lack of motivation with lazy? How about examine your external environment? What situations and people are actually draining you? Do you feel supported? Do you really lack motivation? Or are you just burnt out? Challenge that belief. What about, I procrastinate too much? Procrastination is a symptom, much like a fever, stomach ache, headache, and it usually boils down to one thing, fear. What is your procrastination a symptom of? What are you afraid of? So instead of just accepting that, I just can't get that done because I always procrastinate. Why don't you think about why you're procrastinating? That's a symptom. What are you afraid of? I don't have time. You know, here's a quote. Time is a created thing. To say I don't have time is like, I don't want to. Perhaps the real issue is that you don't really want to change. What part of your current schedule, your current situation, do you not like? And how are they affecting your desire to move forward? I don't have time. Why? Take a look at that. Is that really a real objection? How about, I don't have enough resources? Focusing on external resources like money, credentials, and skills is another tactic we use to give ourselves permission to remain stuck. But lasting change starts internally with things like energy, willpower, clarity, and passion. And as your internal resources start to grow, your external resources will naturally start to grow as well. It starts inside. What in your external environment leaves you internally feeling uninspired, unsupported, or lifeless? Are you using your external resources effectively? Take a look at that. It's too late to change. Focusing on some arbitrary time and date by which you're supposed to have accomplished X, Y, or Z means neglecting to enjoy the amazing journey unfolding right in front of your eyes. After all, who created this timeline? Who put that in your head? Do you hold yourself to some sort of timeline? Something where you're supposed to have accomplished something grand by a certain time? Do you compare yourself with others? What do you really want to change in your life? And what baby steps can you take in that direction? So many times we focus on what we think other people have accomplished. They seem so much further ahead than you are. They're too far ahead. I don't have enough time. No reason. No need to really put myself out. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe that's not real? Maybe we're all in the same boat. Maybe we're all trying to get somewhere else. We're all trying to get to a new place. Don't always feel like everyone is ahead of you. This is your journey. You're on your own journey, your own timeline. Maybe you say, I have too many responsibilities. If you feel like you have so many responsibilities that you can't manage to carve out time to start changing your life, then chances are your responsibilities have become an excuse for not taking care of yourself. Who and what are consuming your time and energy? Are these people and their situations really your responsibility? How can you start to take responsibility for your own life? Are you just hiding behind their problems? Oh, I've got so much of their thing I've got to deal with. I've got to solve this and this and this. I don't have time for myself. What are you putting off? I have no clue who I am. If you feel like you don't know who you are, then chances are you've been neglecting yourself for a very long time. What do you want in your life? Where do you want to see yourself in 6 months, a year? What are your values and goals? You know, we can throw out that question so carefree. What are your values and goals? As if, you know, it should have been a personality test we took and that's an answer. But really, when's the last time you explored that? That's really what that's saying. You know, have you been so consumed with helping everyone else that you haven't even thought about what you might like? Where do you need help? Where are you in your life and where do you want to be? That's your first goal. Where are you now? Take an evaluation, but where do you want to be? What do you hold important? There's your values. What's important to you? You want to make sure those things that are important make that list. Instead of rushing around helping everyone else, what is valuable? What do you find valuable? Maybe it's spending time with your family, your grandkids, your children, your loved one. Maybe it's nurturing your environment and creating a special space. You know, maybe that brings you joy. Those are values. Maybe it's finding a spiritual awakening and getting in touch with a higher power. Maybe that's what you're ready to do. Take some time and explore that. I have no clue where to start, depending on how you choose to look at it. Not knowing where to start can either be liberating or completely overwhelming, but it's usually just an excuse. If there is no clear place to start, then there's no wrong place to start, right? Anything is possible. Start somewhere, anywhere. Will you commit to spending time alone each and every day to explore these limiting beliefs? Because when it comes to making changes in your life, all you need to do is smile, breathe, and go slowly. But the point is, go. you have to make a move in the right direction. You know, negative self-talk is a powerful thing. And before you look to others to pick you up and build you up, you need to look within. It's funny, when we see someone in a movie or a skit pumping themselves up for a big event. You're good enough. You got this. You're going to kill it tonight. But imagine what negative self-talk must sound like when it's not reframed, right? It sits there. It keeps going on this loop and it festers and it grows and it exaggerates. Limiting beliefs left alone, unchallenged, will get stronger. Instead of a concept, they become fact in your mind. Fact and hard to shake. Don't take it for granted. If that's playing in your head right now, it's time to challenge it. Negative self-talk is something that most of us experience from time to time, and it comes in many forms. It can also create significant stress, not only to us, but to those around us, if we're not careful. You know, when you're already always bummed out, imagine how hard it is to put a smile on your face, right? And don't you think your friends and family can feel that? Oh, there she comes again. We got to pick her up today. Do you have friends like that? Maybe you are that person, you just don't recognize it. But let's concentrate on your friends, right? Those friends, I'm using air quotes. Do you have friends like that? You see the call come in on the caller ID. Ugh, I don't want to answer that. She's not going to be in a good mood. He's got a lot of problems today. I don't know if I can take it. Elizabeth Scott, wellness coach, she also specializes in stress management and quality of life issues, says it can sound grounded. I'm not good at this, so I should avoid attempting it for my own personal safety, for example. Or it can sound downright mean. I can never do anything right. It may take on the feel of being realistic. I got a C on this test, so I guess I'm not good at math, right? Only to just feed our fear-based fantasy. I'll probably fail this class and never be able to get a good job. Man, it can spiral out, right? The musings of your negative self-talk or your inner critic may sound a lot like a critical parent or a friend from your past. It can follow the path of typical cognitive distortions. That's called catastrophizing, blaming, and anything like that. Basically, negative self-talk is an inner dialogue you have with yourself that may be limiting your ability to believe in yourself and your own abilities or reach your potential. It is any thought that diminishes you and your ability to make a positive change in your life or your confidence in your ability to do so, because this negative self-talk can not only be stressful, but it can really stunt your success. Negative self-talk can affect us in some pretty damaging ways. Studies have linked this type of talk with higher levels of stress and lower levels of self-esteem. This can lead to decreased motivation as well as greater feelings of helplessness. This type of critical inner dialogue has even been linked to depression, so it's definitely something to fix. Those who find themselves frequently engaging in negative self-talk tend to be more stressed. This is a large part due to the fact that their reality is altered to create an experience where they don't have the ability to reach the goals they've set for themselves. This is both due to a lowered ability to see opportunities around them as well as a decreased tendency to capitalize on any opportunity. This means that the heightened perception of stress is due both to perception and the changes in behavior that come from that. It's just fear, right? Have you ever had that sort of doubt creep in? Just a small doubt, something that just sort of catches you. You probably can't do that. And then all of a sudden it snowballs and careens off the road and into the ditch and fiery death and all of this stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, how did I go to that dark place so quickly? Why did I let that just sort of take on a life of its own? Imagine never challenging that, keeping that stuff around so it grows. This is number one reason to put yourself in a group or somewhere where you have a positive influence. Find that friend, that one I was telling you about, always turns a frown upside down. You need that person in your life. If you're having those negative thoughts and they're continuous, you need that person to help you reframe it and turn it around. You need to start learning to find that gratitude, right? Here's some more negative consequences of negative self-talk. Limited thinking. You tell yourself you can't do something, and the more you hear it, the more you believe it. Well, I tell myself I can't sing, and it actually is true. But you know what I'm saying. Perfectionism. You begin to really believe that great isn't as good as perfect, and that perfection is actually attainable. Right? In contrast, high achievers tend to do better than their perfectionistic counterparts because they are generally less stressed and are happy with a job well done rather than picking it apart and zeroing in on what they could have done better, right? Just a high achiever is fine. Perfect? No, not realistic. That expectation can never be met, so you're always going to be disappointed. Also, feelings of depression. Some research has shown that negative self-talk can lead to an exacerbation of feelings of depression. So again, the snowball effect. If left unchecked and unchallenged, this can be really damaging. Also, relationship challenges. Whether the constant self-criticism makes you seem needy and insecure, or you turn your negative self-talk into more general negative habits that bother others, like a lack of communication and even a playful amount of criticism can take its toll. You know, that self-deprecating, constant dialogue. You know, again, the person that calls, oh gosh, I'm gonna have to pick her up. I'm gonna have to give her all the good stuff. You know, I worry about that too with what we see on social media. Constant selfies, right? You know, when that first became kind of a big deal, it seemed kind of fun. Oh, quick picture. I've got this smartphone, snap, post, cool. But it can be pretty dangerous because you get that sort of rush, that feeling of, ooh, everybody likes my picture. Look, they're telling me how beautiful I am. And you want to go back to it over and over and over again. And then you start judging all that. Oh, somebody didn't give me enough hearts. I only got likes this time. Oh, I didn't get enough likes. You know, you're not even considering Facebook algorithm could have anything to do with it. Or, hey, maybe people are busy. No, they must not think I'm beautiful, right? Self-doubt creeping in. One of the most obvious drawbacks of negative self-talk is that it's not positive, right? Sounds simple? But research has shown that positive self-talk is a great predictor of success. Learn to notice when you're being self-critical so you can begin to stop. Right? That's the first part. If you can catch yourself, you have a chance to change it. It's when you can't catch yourself. You're in denial. It just happens. It's just part of your verbiage. It's how you think. But if you're listening tonight and you're interested in this topic and you can identify with it, maybe you're ready for a change and you want to catch yourself. That's using a different part of your brain, really allows you to make an educated decision. You know, when you notice, like for example, notice when you say things to yourself that you wouldn't even say to a good friend or a child or your mother. I always like to use that one. You know, there was once a Saturday Night Live character. I know you guys have heard it. Debbie Downer, right? She would find the negative in any situation. If your inner critic has this kind of skill as well, tell yourself, Debbie Downer is doing her thing again. When you think of your inner critic as a force outside of yourself, you can give it a goofy name. Give it an alter ego, right? Call her out. Call him out. Stop ruining my good day. Why did you immediately go to the fact that I can't do that? How do you know I can't do that? Challenge yourself. Now, you may not want to do it out loud, right? In public, where people see you talking to yourself and then you tell them, oh no, it's not me. I'm talking to my alter ego, right? You may not want to do that. And if you do, don't tell them I told you to do that. What does your inner voice sound like? Is it hard to hear the positive over the negative? Which one is louder in your head? You know, with cognitive reframing, you can change the way you look at something and consequently change how you experience it. That kind of an approach enables you to implement the ancient wisdom that you can't always control what happens to you, but you can certainly control how you react to different situations, no matter how tough your position might be. And that's the ultimate power you have always possessed. Cognitive behavioral therapy, otherwise known as CBT, offers two very practical and easy applicable exercises when it comes to managing thoughts and interpreting events. First one is emotional accounting. Emotional accounting, transforming specific negative thoughts into positive ones. And then cognitive reframing is transforming specific negative events into more positive ones. Both exercises work in pretty much the same way. Some event happens to you, you perceive an event as a negative one based on your toxic core beliefs. That causes automatic negative thoughts and negative feelings, which leads to inaction and depression. With emotional accounting, you strive to transform automatic negative thoughts into more positive ones. While with cognitive reframing, you try to find a more constructive interpretation of what is happening to you. Mikey D, sounds like a DJ, but Mikey D from Feel Happiness says there are a few principles to keep in mind when considering that reframing technique. It's critical that you know and accept these principles before you start actively trying to add reframing to your personal development toolkit. A reframe is far more effective when you understand what's going on behind the thought. The first basic principle is that events or situations do not have inherent meaning. Rather, you assign them a meaning based on how you interpret the event. It's kind of difficult to understand, but think about that. You are painting the picture, the mental picture of yourself, and you're assigning them a meaning. This can be difficult to accept, but you must. Even when something seemingly horrible happens to you, it is only horrible because of the way that you're looking at it. And this is not to make light of any tragedy whatsoever. It's perfectly okay to be sad when something seemingly bad occurs. That being said, even a bad event can be given a good meaning. Sometimes it can be what we've learned, how we've grown, right? So the idea is not to stay in the negative, but bring in some positive so that you can find a place for it, not in the deeper corners, but kind of bringing it to light. The second principle is that every thought has a hidden frame behind it. The frame is your underlying belief and assumption that are implied by your thought. For example, when you think, I'll never get that promotion I want because I'm not a brown nose butt kisser. Part of the frame is that only suck-ups get promoted. That's what you're framing, right? The final principle is that there is a positive intention behind every negative thought. Seems too good to be true, right? The inner voice of yours that expresses negativity is only doing so because it wants to help you in some way. That doesn't make the thoughts right or acceptable, of course, but it does mean that your inner voice is not an enemy to be resisted. It's just trying to protect you. But you have to say, not today. I got this one, right? You're going to need to sit this one out. I got this one. I'm going to turn this around. So let's go back to the beginning when we talked about those negative self-talks, the things like, you're lazy. You have horrible taste in men or women. You aren't smart enough. You're not worldly enough. You've made too many bad choices. You're selfish. Remember those? All right. Let's reframe those. Okay. You're lazy. Maybe you take your time and you evaluate all the information before making a hasty decision. Maybe you move at a slower pace, building in time to enjoy life. Ever thought about that? You have horrible taste in men or women. Maybe you saw something in that person that you felt needed more attention, and on paper, yeah, wasn't a perfect match, but you went for it anyway. It didn't work out, but you're learning and you're growing, and you will take away valuable lessons from these experiences and continue to explore what is best for you. You aren't smart enough. For what? Maybe those topics aren't important to you, and as a result, you haven't invested a lot of time and energy learning them. But where you are passionate and interested in, you dig in. You dig in deep and you focus your energy in learning more about those topics. You're not worldly enough. For whom? Maybe you enjoy creating a haven at home and channeling your energy, building a worldly retreat in your own backyard. You have a strong sense of community, and travel means just getting out and participating, getting to know your neighbors, volunteering, and enjoying your own paradise. You've made too many bad choices. Maybe you've been in a rush to make something amazing happen in your life, and as a result, you didn't listen to your own intuition or let your heart guide you. Instead, you powered through with the knowledge that you had at the time. When it didn't go your way, you recognized the defeat. You learned the experience. You learned from the experience. And you're going to create a different outcome next time. You're selfish. Maybe you value your time and you choose to surround yourself with things, with people who make you happy. Maybe you're unsure how to pitch in and help others, and you lack the confidence to ask. Did you ever think about that? Bring me one. I'll turn it around for you, I promise. Challenge these beliefs because they're preventing you from having the confidence to trust yourself. So write them down or say them out loud. Now, does that sound right? Is that you? Really? Who said that? Try and think back to the root of this belief. What was the circumstances in which that came up? Does that label even still fit? Reframe this idea. What could be the positive outcome of this type of behavior or belief? How could you turn it around? Or prove it wrong. Step outside of your perceived comfort zone and right this wrong. Turn it around. This is the time in the show that I like to recap, because we do go over so much, so many ideas that we could apply. You know, we talked about what happened to those little kids that thought they could do everything. We got to try to tap back into them. Try to rediscover that person. When did you start telling yourself you couldn't do it? What do you want to do? It might be fun to write down all the things. You know, you've got a bucket list. Maybe those are things you want to go and see, but what about personal development? What would you like to do? You know, now at certain seasons of your life, you obviously, you know, maybe you want to take a trip around the world and you want to see sights that you've never seen before and meet people of different cultures, and you just had a baby. That may not happen, right? So be strategic and be realistic at the same time, but writing them down, getting them out of your head. Remember, no limitations, let's say money wasn't an option, your abilities, nothing. Nothing's going to get in your way. What would they be? Write them down. It's always a great place to keep them in a journal, right? So you can look back on them. Even if you can't accomplish them today or next week or next year, they're part of a want, a need, or desire. So write them down. It's important. You know, we talked about maybe moving away from helping everyone else, giving up all those excuses. I procrastinate. I don't have any time. Everybody is busy. Everybody's busy. That's not self-doubt, right? That is a bogus objective. I have too many responsibilities. What are they? If you have too many responsibilities to focus on your own goals, you need to be looking at that. A lot of times we do a lot of busy stuff for other people that they don't even require. They wouldn't even ask us to do it. Believe me, I'm a people pleaser, so I know this. We do it because we get this charge. We get control. We get this wow, you know, because we were able to solve the problem or save the day. But they didn't even ask us to do that. Think about that. Are you overextending yourself when it's not even appreciated or needed? You know, challenge those 8 beliefs that we talked about. When they come to your mind, not listening to that today. Where did that even come from? You know, I do that a lot if I have a little negative thought come into my head. And, you know, it'll catch me. I'll think about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, uh-huh. And then I'll stop and say, hey, wait a minute. I don't feel like that. I don't feel that way. I'm not listening to that today. No, get out. Not having it. You know, we talked about how critical for your health and your emotional well-being that negative self-talk can be. If left unattended, you know, it can just spiral and fester. It really needs some attention. I want you to take that seriously. I want you to reach out. If you can't stop that loop, reach out, get someone to help you turn that around. You know, self-doubt might seem something simple, but it can actually be something pretty complex when left unattended. So I challenge you, when you feel doubt creep in, take a time out and ask yourself where, why, and how. Where is this coming from? Why am I listening to it? And how can I get back on track? You deserve all life has to offer. So don't give in to negative self-talk and self-doubt. Don't do it. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Someone threw until the path was clear. That's when I found you.